if it were possible that I could survey the entirety of the world and ask the question, do you think within the next decade there is a real possibility of worldwide peace? I would venture to guess that about 99.99% of the people would answer, no way, Jose. You agree? Probably that's the case. If I were to ask the same survey, how many people believe that within the next 10 years, all sickness could be wiped off the face of this planet? Or hunger could be completely eliminated, or poverty, or lack of education, or all these other things. I wonder how many people would say, sure, that's doable. More than likely, 99.999% of the people would say, not a chance. But you know what? I'm going to be one of those 0.0001% that say, absolutely, that could happen. Now, you may say, Pastor, not only did you forget your PowerPoint presentation, but you forgot your brain this morning. Nope, I didn't. That's one thing that's attached. Doesn't always work, but it's attached. And the reason I say that is, Scripture tells us that one day, possibly even today, Jesus Christ is coming to rapture His church. And after the rapture of the church, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. The wrath of God is going to be poured out. But at the end of that 7 years, right after its consummation, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and He will institute His millennial kingdom. And in that millennial kingdom, there will be absolutely no war. There will be peace on earth. There will be absolutely no hunger. There will be absolutely no sickness. Longevity of life will be returned to people. Poverty will be banned. All those things that I spoke of are going to be gone. And that's all possible within 10 years or less. See, the difference between my thoughts and the rest of the world is I am basing my thoughts upon what Scripture says. Now, it could be that the rapture won't come for another 10,000 years. I don't think it's going to take that long, but it's possible, as well as it being possible today. The rest of the world looks at the conditions of the world in which it is today and says, and rightfully so, apart from God, it'll never happen. Makes a difference whether you look at things through the eyes of faith or the eyes of unfaithfulness, doesn't it? Such was the issue with the children of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3. If you will open your Bibles there, we're going to look very briefly this morning at how Israel saw things. Beginning at verse 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. What God is saying to Jeremiah is, have you seen what happened to the northern 10 tribes called Israel? Now, you remember, as I spoke some weeks ago, that there was a division after the reign of Solomon. The northern 10 tribes were led by Jeroboam and the southern 2 tribes by Rehoboam. And time passed, and the northern 10 tribes were apostate. They started off with a worship of God that was not ordained by God, and it led to all kinds of trouble. 722, 721, the Assyrian army came and decimated the northern tribes, took them away into captivity, and the kingdom was no more. And God is saying to Jeremiah, did you see what I did? Do your people see what I did? Here is this group of people that were called by my name, that didn't care anything about me, that were committing spiritual adultery, and they're no longer. My wrath came upon them. Your nation should have noticed that. Your nation should have said to themselves, hey, look what God did, and changed their ways. But he said, at best, all they have done, according to verse 10, is turned with to me faintedly. Not with their whole hearts, just a little bit. Jeremiah saw it. God saw it. But Judah didn't see it. Point of application. Number one, what you may see clearly, others may not see at all. God saw it, Jeremiah saw it, Judah didn't see it. There are things in our lives that you might be particularly sensitive to, that you will see and other people won't see at all. And that's the way things happen. And I ask myself the question, why is it that we see something and other people don't see it that way? I came up with two particular things. First of all, a desire to see things. Let me ask a question here this morning. How many of you have seen a robin this year? I saw my first one this morning. Now, actually, I saw one back in December. I wasn't sure whether it was one that was late in going south or early in coming north. It was kind of in between there. But I didn't see it the rest of the winter, so I just assumed it was late going south. But I saw my first one this morning. Do you know why I saw the first one this morning? I knew that this time of the year, the robins come back. And I was looking for them. The other day I was outside, I heard a robin chirping. First thing I did was started looking around to say I could see my first robin. Didn't find the thing. But I heard it. I was looking for it. And sometimes we see things because we have a desire to see things. And sometimes we don't see things because we have no interest at all. The old Three Stooges thing where Larry Fine says, I can't see, I can't see. And Mo says, what's the matter? He said, I've got my eyes closed. And we close our eyes to the things that are going on and how God explains those things. Second thing is, maybe you simply haven't had opportunity. For example, if it wasn't coming over here this morning, I would stand here and say, I haven't seen a robin yet. I've been looking. Been looking, just haven't been there. And sometimes it may not be a matter of, well, you don't want to see, but you just can't. You haven't had the privilege of being in the right place at the right time to see those things. And God matures us in various areas, at various ways, at various times in our lives. And because maybe you haven't seen something in Scripture that another person had, simply means that God hasn't given you that opportunity yet. But the fact of the matter is, what you may see clearly, others may not see at all. Well, let's read on. Verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause my anger upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land, In those days, mark those words, they are important. Saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered into it. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a godly goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Second thing, what you may see as impossible, others may see as very doable. God is saying to Jeremiah, there is coming a day when the nation of Israel is going to repent. The nation of Israel is going to be gathered back into their land. The nation of Israel is going to live in peace. I will be there. They won't be coming to the temple and clinging to the ark, which they did in those days, and saying, oh, God is here in the ark of the covenant. I literally will be amongst them. And they will call me my father. I did a little research as to the spiritual condition of Israel today. Some interesting statistics. 80% of the nation of Israel is Jewish. You would think 100%, but that's not the case. 80%. 15% of the nation of Israel is Muslim. Only 2% of the nation of Israel calls itself by any name Christian. Now, that does not mean Bible-believing Christian. That means anything that associates itself with Christianity. In reality, those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world is only a percentage of a fraction, or a fraction of a percentage, whichever way you want to state it. To look at that land and say that nation as a whole is going to receive Jesus Christ as Savior seems rather impossible, doesn't it? But God has a way of doing the impossible, doesn't He? And all too often we look at the things the way they are and look at them without spiritual vision. The promises of God. Now, the way God is going to do this isn't going to be pretty. 7 years of tribulation. But it will accomplish His purposes. What you may see as impossible, others may see as very doable. Or vice versa. What you can see as very doable, others are going to say, you can't do that. And the answer is, you're probably right. But God can. And He is. Number 3, verse 19, or verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Here Israel is repenting. These are the words that Israel as a nation one day is going to say. And they're going to recognize that they blew it. Point is this. What you may see as good, others may see as evil. Israel, back in those days, and yet even today, is looking at something as a way of a means of protecting itself, of continuing on as a nation, of thriving. And they're not looking at God. And they're saying, oh, if we have this missile system, or oh, if we have a confederacy of nations that will support us. Back then they were looking to Egypt and they were looking to Assyria, and neither of them was sufficing. Oh, if we worship this God and that God, then we would have peace and prosperity. And finally they're going to recognize that those things were wrong. In fact, one day is coming that Israel will sign a covenant with a man called the Antichrist. And it's not long after that they're going to say, uh-oh, we made a big mistake. They saw it as good, and it turned out to be evil. When others are saying, no, wait a minute, hold the bus. That's not right. One sees one thing and another sees another. How is that? Sometimes we look only at the outside of things and not the depth of things. We see what appears. We see the advertisements. We don't see the consequence. We look at the immediate and we don't look at the long range or the eternal. And consequently, what may start out as seeming good may end up as being evil. All a matter of vision. Now, let me make some application of this. A couple of years ago, it was time for my vision checkup. Had to go see if my glasses needed adjustment or if they were fine just the way they were. So I went up to the eye care center up in the Hyde Park Plaza and went in and filled out all the paperwork, and the woman there took me back to the examination room, sat me down in the chair and said, the doctor will be back in just a minute or two. I said, okay. And I'm sitting there, and there was an eye chart up there. Well, I knew that, you know, what they were going to do. This was wasn't the first time I was there, so I decided that I better take things into account here and be ready for this thing. And sure enough, within a minute or two, the doctor came in and handed me the little thing and said, now cover your right eye and then read the letters of the smallest line that you can read. And I said, okay, and I put the thing up to my eye and I started reading. First letter is an N. Second letter might be a G, it might be a C, but I'm pretty sure it's an O. The next letter is a T. The fourth letter could be a K, could be an L, but I'm pretty sure it's an I. And the doctor said, Mr. Reiner, you're getting them all wrong. Try the next line up. I said, no, I'm pretty sure I got the right letters. Well, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Guess who was right? I was. Here. Don't you see it? Let me move this thing up here and enlarge it a little bit. I'll just enlarge it here a little bit. There you go. N-O-T-I. You don't see it yet? Well, wait a minute. Let me enlarge it a little bit more. Now it should be really clear, shouldn't it? Yeah. This sentence down here. N-O-T-I. I was bad. Before the doctor came in, I knew what was going to happen, and I went up to that eye chart and I said, what's this fine print down here? So I memorized it. I honestly did that. I'm not making this story up. I don't know if it was this eye chart, but I did that. Now there's a reason. I knew a test was coming, and I wanted to be prepared for it. Trials and tests will always come in life. The question is, will you be prepared for them? I memorized that word. And the person who memorizes the word of God will be able to see things that others can't in the times of trial. You might not be crazy like me, but you will see what God is doing. Israel couldn't see because they weren't looking through the eyes of faith. They weren't trusting God. And God was working. Oh, by the way, God is still working today. Can you see what He's doing? Only through the eyes of faith. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we might see great and wonderful things that You're doing in this world today. May we be careful to discern the good from the evil, the doable from the impossible, the things that we or other people cannot see, may we be sensitive to and looking for. That we might be servants used for the glory of the Most High God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Still using the hymnal?
Yeah.